You are about to listen to a message from Apostle Joseph Minta of Touch World Ministries International. Be blessed.
Dreams from the heart. The heart is the veil that separates the spirit from the soul, or it is the intersection of the spirit and the soul. The mind is the door to the holy place, which is the soul. Then the heart is the veil to the holy of holies. So the heart is the intersection between the spirit and the soul. Heart is the soul and the conscience. The conscience is part of the spirit. So the part of the spirit that connects with the heart is the conscience. When you become born again, your spirit becomes an abode for the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit, and your spirit is trapped in your body. So your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in your spirit. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I command every spirit of infirmity tormenting people in various parts of their bodies to lose their hold right now. In the name of Jesus, I curse every issue of pain in the breast. In the name of Jesus, loose your hold. Let a power, let a healing virtue of God be activated in this room right now. In the name of Jesus, any part of your body that is sick, receive healing. Receive healing. Receive healing. Receive healing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege you've given us to come and listen to your word. We pray that even as your word is coming, help us to open our hearts to receive your word. Let your word drop on our hearts like the seed that fell on the good soil. Let it bear fruit in accordance with your purpose for our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for this morning. Today is 21st of March 2021, and today we are looking at dreams from the heart. And dreams from the heart, you know, we've been looking at dreams in general. We've touched on dreams from God, the nature of dreams from God, the types, and then how to handle dreams from God. We said at that time that there are four projectors and one screen, and the four projectors are God, the devil, our hearts, and our bodies. That these are projectors. God, the devil, our hearts, and our bodies, they can project images onto the screen of our mind. And these images, when we are asleep, it is called dreams. They come onto the screen of our minds, these pictures. And we need to understand. Then we also saw the nature of dreams from God, that they are usually straight to the point and easy to understand. There are some that are given in Proverbs and in dark sayings that need to be interpreted. But majority of them, you will just understand, or you will get the cracks of it upon waking up. So we looked at different types of dreams from God. We saw word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. We saw impartation dreams, intercession dreams, many others, you know, that we concluded on that yesterday, last week. Today we are looking at dreams from the heart, and if possible, I also touch on dreams from the body. if it's possible. Now, the heart is the veil that separates the spirit from the soul, or it is the intersection of the spirit and the soul. And if you look at the diagram I've been using of the tabernacle, I said that the mind is the door to the holy place, which is the soul. Then the heart is the veil to the holy of holies. So the heart is the intercession between the spirit and the soul, you know. And so, strictly speaking, you can, if you want to define the heart, then you can say the heart is the soul and the conscience. The conscience is part of the spirit. So the part of the spirit that connects with the heart is the conscience. And so the whole of the soul and then the conscience, they will constitute the heart. And the heart is able to communicate, is able to interact with our born-again spirit. When you become born again, your spirit becomes an abode for the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit, and your spirit is trapped in your body. So your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in your spirit, you know. And so your heart is able to interact with your spirit and then also interact with your soul. Now, the major work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we give our life, when we become born again, is the transformation of the soul. And that takes our whole lifetime. That is the major work he does in us, when he transforms our soul. When we start thinking like Christ and we start behaving like Christ, our minds are renewed, you know. Our spirits are already born again, and our spirits are sanctified. There's no sin in your spirit. There's no sin in your spirit when you become born again. Sin is abolished from your spirit. And so God looks at you from the state of your spirit. That's why he calls you a saint. That is why even in the church of Corinth, God called them saints, even though they were having challenges in the flesh. You know, that was their spirit. But then the soul was also to go through a process of transformation. And the leading part of the soul, which is the mind, when that part is touched, that is when the soul is transformed. So you can have parts of your soul transformed, taken over by the Holy Spirit, who is in your spirit, and other parts also which have not yet been touched by the Holy Spirit, who is also in your spirit, you know. And not until the heart changes, not until the heart is touched, real transformation doesn't take place. So Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, renew your mind. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when it says be transformed by the renewing of the mind, you have to go to Ephesians 4:23 to look at what is really targeting. You know, it says, be renewed and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind. That is the target. That is the heart. So when the spirit of your mind is touched, you know, that is when real transformation takes place. So it is therefore possible to be born again and still have issues with the heart. You know, in the Bible, like when you read Hebrews 3:12, he was writing to believers. And look at what he said. Hebrews 3:12 said, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This was to believers, and he was saying that they could have an evil heart. They could have an evil heart of unbelief. You know, James 1:26 also talks about the heart. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So your heart can be deceived. Even as a believer, you can have a heart that is deceived, you know. Then also you can have a heart that can also condemn you. In 1 John 3:20, your heart can condemn you. Your heart can condemn you. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. But if our hearts continue to verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. So your heart can condemn you. Now, so the heart is versatile, plays a lot of rules in our lives. And this heart I'm talking about can also project pictures, project images onto the screen of your mind. And let's look at Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Then we'll read 16 to 17. Then we'll read 26. Jeremiah 23, 16 to 17. That says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own hearts, not from the mouth of the Lord. Okay? They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. Now move to 26. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts. Now, the first one said they give you visions of their heart. And this one says they prophesy according to the deceit of their own heart. So you can give visions of your heart. Your heart can actually give you visions and dreams. And we need to understand how those dreams look like and how we have to handle those dreams. The heart can project thoughts. In Matthew 7:21, the heart can project thoughts. And as a matter of fact, it is your heart that produces your thoughts. Truly, strictly speaking, it is your heart that produces your thoughts. Mark 7:21. Your heart is the one that produces. So if your heart is evil, your thoughts will be evil. If you have a heart of unbelief, your thoughts. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. So evil thoughts come from the heart. Okay. Now Hebrews 4:12 also buttresses this point that the heart produces thoughts. The heart produces thoughts. Hebrews 4:12, talking about the word of God, which is quick, sharp, and all that, even to the piercing of spirit and soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the heart can have thoughts and intents. Now, intents have got to do with decisions, determinations. Thoughts have got to do with inclinations or desires, So your heart can produce thoughts, and those thoughts can come onto your mind. When you are asleep, your heart does not sleep. Your heart can also be projecting thoughts onto your mind. Dreams are simply, they are just thoughts that are being projected onto your mind. That's what dreams are. And those thoughts are being projected in the form of pictures, because your mind is a screen and your mind can see. So the way you think, is determined by the heart you have. That's why God targets the heart for transformation. Not until the heart is targeted and the heart is touched by the workings of the Spirit, there will not be real transformation. Because the way you think, which influences the way you act, is produced by the kind of heart you have. So the work is from the heart. The work is from the heart. Now, the nature of dreams from the heart, they can either be positive or negative. And in most cases, they deal with the present or the past. In some limited cases, they can be futuristic. They can deal with the future. But in most cases, dreams from the heart are centered around the past and the present. And they can either be positive or negative. They communicate desires, decisions, and inner state. So those dreams, they are about desires, they are about moods, they are about decisions, they are about the inner state of your being. So your innermost recesses, there's a chamber in your being that nobody knows what goes on there. That chamber is your heart. It's the deepest part of your mind. You can work with somebody, you never know what is in the person's heart. You know, what is in your mind can easily slip through your tongue. But what is in your heart, unless it is full, your tongue, it cannot slip through your tongue. So that one is buried. That's why we can say that you have hidden something in your heart. Say, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. If the word is not in your heart, you can sin against you. If the word is just in your mind, it has not gotten a hold of you yet. Whatever is just in your mind hasn't gotten a hold of you yet. If something enters your heart, it gets a hold of you. Because your heart is your central system that controls all these movements. Okay, so sometimes they can be manipulated by the devil to deceive you. Things in your heart. You know, when your heart projects these images and you don't do anything about them, they can be manipulated by the devil. You know, because they can either be positive or negative. And sometimes too, the devil can actually sow things in your heart. He can throw things into your heart, you know, and you may be projecting those things that he has thrown into your heart onto your mind in the form of dreams. For instance, in John 13 verse 2, we all know that it was Judas Iscariot, John 13 verse 2, Judas Iscariot, it was Satan who put it in his heart to betray Jesus. So, and supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Satan had already put it into his heart to betray Jesus. So it was in his heart. And that could easily have been projected onto his mind in a form of pictures. Because what is in his heart is that Jesus must be betrayed. After all, he's a big disappointment, because we're all thinking that he was going to come and rout the Roman government. But it's been 3 years now following him. We have not seen anything. You know, so thinking along those lines, it was Satan who was causing him to think along those lines. And then he said, well, if you could not fulfill our desires, then it's better to get rid of you. And he could have gotten pictures to support his action, that indeed he had to be gotten rid of, you know. And those pictures would have been coming from his heart, because the heart had been poisoned by the devil. And he would have taken those pictures as a confirmation to the Father, God indeed wants me to betray him. You know, without having recourse to the Father, scriptures must be the anchor, and scriptures must be the one that will settle those controversies. So if Judas sees that, I had a dream, and in the dream, I saw Jesus in this light, and the devil had already put it in his heart, that dream could have been a dream that was being projected by his heart because of what had entered his heart already. And it couldn't have been a dream from God, you know. But he can easily make a mistake and say that this dream is from God. That's why when you voice out the state of your heart, Satan can use that to deceive you. And anytime your emotions enter something, don't trust the dreams you get concerning that thing. When your emotions are involved, don't trust the dreams and even the prophecies and the things you get concerning that thing. Don't trust it. You must subject you to further probe and investigation to really ascertain whether that is of God or is of your heart. Because your emotions are involved. When your emotions are involved, you can easily get your heart to give you pictures to confirm. And they are not from God. They are just from your heart. You know, they are just from your heart. It is very easy, very easy. You know, now, also, your born-again spirit can also search your heart, and it can project its findings on the screen of your mind. So your born-again spirit can also search your heart and also reveal things hidden in your heart in the form of dreams. Your heart will project them, but it would have been things that your spirit has searched. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, the Bible says that the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. searching all the inner depths of his heart. The belly, the King James says belly is the heart. Out of your belly shall flow, is still the heart. So the spirit of a man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord. So your spirit is searching. It has a searching ability. The Holy Spirit is a searcher. Our born again spirit too is a searcher. And your spirit can search. The Holy Spirit can search. Your spirit too can search your heart, you know, and then can project the findings onto your heart. Then your heart can project those findings in the form of dreams onto your mind. So Romans 8 verse 20 says, we know not what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. Then 27 says, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He who searches the heart, so he can search the heart. The Holy Spirit can search the heart, and that he will know, you know, what is in your heart. He can search the heart. Now, so types of dreams from the heart. I'm going to give you some seven types of dreams from your heart. Seven. I was even amazed I got seven, because I thought it was, you know, I didn't know it was seven. Okay, so I have what I call self-revelation dreams. Self-revelation dreams. Now, the heart can project the findings of your spirit in the form of dreams. See, so the heart is said that it can determine the current level, your current level or your state as a believer. God can search your heart if you allow him. So David was often saying, you know, in Psalm 139 verse 23, he prayed a prayer. He says, search me, O God. 139 verse 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. He was inviting God to search him. If you invite God to search you, God can search you. God can put the spotlight on your heart. And you will see the findings in your dreams. And those are self-revelation dreams. Self-revelation dreams. Now, the Bible also says we should examine ourselves. We should examine ourselves. So, because we can't do it accurately, because sometimes you don't even know what is in your heart. Yes, it's not everything in your heart that you know. Some of the things, you will see them and then you'll be surprised. So this is really what is in my heart. There are things you are flirting with, you are toying with, you are playing with. You don't know the gravity of those things till they are projected onto your mind in the form of a dream. Then you know that, hey, so this is how I look, or this is the state of my heart. So those dreams will tell you how you really look in the spirit, or what is the state of your heart in the spirit, those dreams. So you can see yourself involved in a certain bad thing in a dream. You know, let me say murder, example. You can see yourself murdering somebody. You can see yourself committing murder in the dream. And it doesn't mean you were a murderer, but that is who you are. That is who you are in your heart. Because God's definition of a murderer is not somebody who has killed another person, but God's definition of a murderer is somebody who is angry with his neighbor without cause. See, so Matthew 5:22, it says, but I say to you that, okay, go to 20:21. You have heard it. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Which means that he's trying to say that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause is a murderer. So your spirit can be searching your heart, and then it can really find that you are a murderer and project it onto your your screen, and then you have a dream which suggests that you are a murderer. It does not mean you are a murderer literally, but it may be referring to some anger that is in your heart without cause. It says without cause. There are some anger with cause, but there are some without cause. Now, if you are just angry at somebody without cause, you just despise the person without cause. You are a murderer. You are a murderer, and that is what will come. Now, feelings of lust for somebody in a dream may be revealing the seed of fornication or adultery in your heart. If you have feelings of lust for somebody in a dream, what it means is that there's a seed of fornication or adultery that has been sown into your heart. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, the same Matthew 5, I think verse 27, 28, he said that he was talking to men specifically, but it's to everybody. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This one was obviously to men because talking about a woman, he just said woman. He didn't say and whoever looks at a woman to lust, a man to lust after him. But it's vice versa. Are you getting me? So therefore, in a dream, if you have dreams where you are feeling lustful towards somebody in the dream, it's an indication that there's a seed of fornication or adultery in your heart, and it must be dealt with. It might be dealt with. Note that in this kind of dream, you are actively involved. It's not a dream where somebody is trying to seduce you. That one is different. That one is the person, the problem is with the person, not you. And that one, it may be telling you to be careful or order your steps well. But when you are having those feelings for another person in a dream, then the focus is on you. It's a self-revelation dream. You must begin to take action. You must begin to go before the Lord, ask the Lord to cleanse you with a word, begin to pray prayers that will reconcile, that will resolve conflicts and all that. Make sure that those things are uprooted from your heart, because the Holy Spirit is the searcher, and he searched your heart. I mean, your spirit searched your heart, and then projected the findings through your heart onto your mind screen. That is the results of that search. It's like searching for a word on Google, or searching for something. Then say, results for him. So that's your results. Now, extreme anger, an example of self-revelation dreams where you are extremely angry. You may never know there's a seed of rebellion or bitterness in your heart. You may see yourself in a dream reacting in extreme anger. That will tell you, it's a picture of what is in your heart. It tells you that there's bitterness in your heart. You know, it tells you there's bitterness. You are bitter, but you may not know or accept. Sometimes you don't want to accept that you are bitter. And sometimes you think you are not bitter because outwardly there is nothing to show that you are bitter, but then your heart can project that state that is within it, that look, you are bitter, or let's say you are rebellious. Maybe you have a dream and you expressed extreme anger at somebody who is an authority in your life or over your life. Now it's a seed of rebellion. You have to deal with it. You have to be honest and accept it and deal with it that you are rebellious when you have extreme anger towards an authority over your life in a dream. You have to examine yourself. You have to ask yourself honest questions. Examine yourself. Maybe you are rebellious, but you don't know, and you need to go for spiritual review. Because all the dreams of the heart, they are about you, primarily. All the dreams that your heart will project onto your mind, the focus is you. You are the subject of those dreams. Now, Dreams of being naked and ashamed may be communicating your vulnerability. Vulnerability. You must check your connection to authorities in your life. When you have dreams and you are naked, those dreams are not from God. See, those dreams are from your heart. The whole that your spirit searched your heart and came out with a finding that you are vulnerable in an area, or there's a problem, you are not properly covered. There's an issue between you and in your source of covering, or your authority, you know, authority over you. Those, you can see those dreams like that. So it's not like when you see yourself naked in a dream, it means that you have sinned. No, no. It's your heart that is communicating the state. It may mean that your leader or your covering is grieved in his or her heart. It can also appear like that. See, when somebody is over you and a person is grieved, a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. That's why Bible said that. It said that obey those who bear rule over you. And he said, give me Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. It said, because of esteem them very highly for their work's sake, you know. And then he said, so that they can do the job with joy, not with grief, because that would not be profitable for you. So your heart may be giving you a warning that that your covering, yeah, it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. And you can see this unprofitableness in a dream, in a form of being naked and ashamed in a dream. So you have to check your alignment and see. You may not be properly aligned and properly connected, or that your source of your covering may be grieved in his or her heart, and you need to find out. So now that is self-revelation dream, telling you what is going on. You know that, you see that it's all about you, because your heart knows you more than any other person, because that's what defines your thinking. Your thoughts spring from your heart. So if you want to know a person, the heart of a person is what defines the person's actions, attitude, what defines the person's thinking and thinking pattern. All that we call subconsciousness, it's all a work of the heart. Then the second type of dream your heart can give is what I call desire dreams. Desire dreams. The heart contains desires, thoughts, and intents. So, like I said, be careful when your emotions have entered into something. When your emotions are already in something, your heart can project dreams that can project favorable dreams. And you may think that God has endorsed that thing, but it may be your heart. That's why I'm saying that if you have already fallen in love with that thing, then don't trust the dream. You must subject the dream to further probe. You must submit it to further probe and examination, and then be really sure that it is really from God. See, it's like you like somebody, then you get a dream, and then you are marrying that person. You already like the person. Your emotions have gone ahead of you into the person. So the dream you are having about the person, you and the person getting married, those dreams may not be from God. You need to subject those dreams to further scrutiny, because it may just be your heart projecting your desires. I mean, if you are so much into politics, and you have been yearning and wishing and desiring that your party wins, I have a dream to confirm that. It may not be a dream from God. It may be your heart projecting your desires. So desire dreams are like that. Don't be too fast to conclude that it is God. You know, and sometimes you must discard such dreams. Discard them. Your heart was already in it. So your heart has already concluded. Okay? That's why when sometimes I tell people that let's pray and let's ask God that he should confirm this, not through you or through me. Maybe I'm telling you something. You are not seeing what I'm saying. I'm also not seeing what you are saying. So I'll tell you that let's pray that God will confirm, not through me, because me, I'm biased. You too, you are biased. Are you getting it? To go or not to go? I say, don't go. You say, no, I think I should go. So if I say that I had a dream and so and so happened, after I have declared my stand, maybe the stand is just out of bias, bias for something. So then the one who is neutral can come if the one who is neutral has a dream or has a confirmation to either side, then we can see how it goes. But if it comes through me, it will be biased. I will not be able to be sure that this is God's leading. Neither will you be able to be sure, because you are also biased. So your biases can reflect in your dreams, and you can easily mistake them for God's endorsement. And we must be very careful of that. Very careful of that. Because even, you see, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. See, where your heart is, that is where your treasure is. That's why I said at that time that if you keep praying for somebody, it is likely God is going to show you if something is coming in the way of the person, it's likely God is going to show you, because he knows you are already praying for the person. And so you have a heart already towards the person to pray for the person. But this one, your heart can deceive you, because this one involves you, your emotions, towards something that you desire. So that is desire dreams. And there are many instances where people have had dreams which seem to confirm their desires and their biases. And they will quickly conclude that this is God, because this is what you had in your heart. We have the third one, fear or anxiety dream. Those dreams are also dreams of your heart. They are not from God. God, you see, dreams from God can invoke fear, but that fear is awesomeness, holy fear. It's like, it's sacred. The thing is sacred. But when there is anxiety, when there is fear, which has torments, that dream is not from God. That's why I said, when God is giving you a dream, God will show you things from his perspective. God will never show you things to portray that the devil is winning. No. God will rather show somebody, maybe what the devil is doing in your life, but for God to let you know and give you dreams that will frighten you, no. But your heart can also give you those dreams. Those dreams. When you have fears or anxiety about a thing, you can dream about it. Your heart can project those fears. Failing an exam. Maybe there's an impending exam, and then it's like you may have a certain kind of fear which you don't even know. So your heart can project your fear. You can see yourself having failed the exams in a dream. It does not mean that God says you are going to fail. It's your heart. Failing an interview or losing something. Whatever you have been afraid of, you can see in dreams. Sometimes you have some fears that will come into your heart. Some of them are not relevant. Some of them are just, but some of them too, they are not only are they not relevant, they are irrational. And you can be having dreams like that. maybe fear that you will not be able to give birth. You can easily see that in the dream. Fear that you will not get married. Even when you are about to have a ceremony, you can easily have dreams that the ceremony went bad. If it's a marriage, you can have dreams that the ceremony was bad. No, when they came, everything was bizarre. Then you were stressed out, you were tensed, you were sad, broken. Then you wake up from the dream, and you would think that, oh, this is God. It's not God, it's your heart. But fear dreams must be dealt with. Yes, because fear is something that opens the door for the devil. So when you have fear dreams, those dreams can actually open the door of your heart to the devil for him to accomplish your fear. So fear dreams should not be played with. You should deal with it. You should always, anything that is fear, anytime you see fear, confront it. Anytime you see fear, whether real or imaginary, confront it. Yes, you must confront it. Anytime you are afraid of something, confront it. You must begin to rebuke it. Even dogs, when you are afraid of dogs, you see, make a practice. When you're afraid of dogs, when you see them, rebuke them. Rebuke them and run. or hide. You can rebuke them. You know, what I do is that when I go for a walk, I always have a cane, a stick, because there are many dogs who have been troubling me. You know, when they see you, one will just make a sound, then the others will join. And before I realize, they are all coming. So, but anytime I go, I hold a stick. And as I hold the stick, and as I see them, I say, not even a dog will lift up its tongue against me. God told Joshua, I said, not even a dog will lift up its tongue against you. So, I mean, anything you are afraid of, speak. You don't have to succumb to fear. No, not at all. Speak it. Speak. Stand against it boldly. Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse this one. It cannot happen. Sometimes you are saying it and you are afraid. Keep saying it. Yeah, because the devil doesn't know you are afraid. He doesn't know. How you get to me? You can what is important is to confront the fear. So whether dreams, you see, when you have sad dreams, don't say, oh, these are fear dreams, so just discard. No, rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, I will have none of this. This is not my portion. That's the scripture, right? Yeah. This is not my portion in the name of Jesus. Rebuke fear anywhere you find it. I always say, it shall not stand, neither shall it prevail. That's Isaiah 7:7. Say, it shall not stand, it shall not prevail. It shall not stand, it shall not prevail. It shall not stand, it shall not prevail. It shall not come to pass. I mean, you do that to all fear dreams. All fear dreams. This one is not like the devil can sow fear. This one I'm talking about is your own fear that you have that is being projected. Okay? That is being projected. Your own fear. Like Job 3:25. Job 3:25. Job 3:25. Job says something. He said, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Job was a rich man who feared God. But he had what we call religious fear. Every morning after a feast or a program, after his children had their birthdays, their parties and all that, he would get up early in the morning and offer sacrifice on their behalf. And he would say that maybe they might have cursed God when they were drunk or something, and so that he's pleading on their behalf. Now, that was religious fear. That was fear, but it was religious fear. Okay. And Job was a rich man, and sometimes he can have, let's say, fears. What about if I lose everything? You know, and you can see those fears in your dreams. Somebody, maybe you are traveling, then you have a fear. What about if I go and I don't come back? What about if this my loved one is traveling and he or she doesn't come back? Somebody is sick. What about if he dies? And those things, you can have those fears, and those fears can be projected in your dreams. And they are so real that you may actually think that God is speaking to you. But it may be fears that you have been harboring. Fear of evil occurrence. That's anxiety. Anxiety is being afraid of something that has not yet happened. That is anxiety. You see, worry is when you focus on what has happened, you know, and then is you are grieved. But anxiety is when you fear or you are grieved concerning what has not happened, which may not even happen. That's why I'm saying that deal with fear wherever you meet it, whether real or imaginary. So if, let's say, thoughts start coming into your mind that can I just enjoy life like that? At least something bad should happen. I mean, can I just be enjoying? It's too good to be true. I mean, thoughts like that, they can come into your mind, okay, that, hey, the way things are going my way, I'm afraid. I mean, some things maybe should have just, you know, gone. Those thoughts, they are not from God. Rebuke those thoughts. Because he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. God knows the thoughts he thinks. God is not yea and nay. God doesn't have even a single bad plan for his children. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have even a single bad plan for his children. Are you getting him? Yeah. And God also does not have wrath or anger for his children. No. God doesn't have anger or wrath for his children. And he doesn't have a single bad plan for his children. Even you as a human being, you don't have bad plans for your children, do you? No. You don't have bad plans for your children. And you don't have wrath for your children to destroy them. Even when you are angry with them, at the back of the anger is love. It's love. So that's how God is. But these fear dreams, these fear dreams and anxiety dreams, they can be like that. Now, traumatic experiences can also be replaying in your heart. You know, that's why sometimes when people go through experiences that are traumatic, they need a lot of help. They need prayers. They need to be helped to overcome the fear. Encountering armed robbers. Maybe having accidents. Or, you know, it's not usually the accident that kills people. It's the shock. It's the shock. People sometimes die before the impact. Yes. When they see that this one, either God whisked me away or I'm dead. Because this one, there is me and you. I mean, nowhere to hide. Some people will just die, you know, just die. So going through such experiences, if you have ever gone through such experience before and you have not been disconnected from the experience and the fear it produced, you are likely going to be having dreams on that. Accident, armed robbers. You can be having dreams on that, you know. Yeah, and they can be replaying in your heart. And because the fear has not been dealt with, the fear is still there. It can be projected onto your mind. And you may always be seeing accidents in your life in dreams. Always be seeing death of loved ones, you know. And you're always kind of expecting it. You know, you're always kind of not expecting as you like it, but subtly, subtly, you are always kind of open to it unless you deal with it. Now, phobia. Your phobia can also affect your dreams. You know, phobia. Phobia is a kind of fear that is, it's for instance, some people are afraid of heights. Heights. Now, I don't know the name they give to that one. Then we have claustrophobia, which is being afraid of enclosed places. Then agoraphobia, being afraid of open space. Hydrophobia, being afraid of water. People have phobia. Phobia is irrational fear. It's fear that has torment. Fear that has torment. You can easily see your phobia in dreams. Those are heart dreams. You are afraid of heights. You can be seeing dreams where you are on top of a building and you don't know whether you are supposed to jump or, you know, and you are afraid. It's in your heart. In your heart. I remember the first time I went to Kakum to walk on the Kakum canopy walk. And I remember having similar dreams. I will have a dream where I'm on the canopy walk and it's like nobody is there. I'm on that. And that thing haunted me because when I was going on it, I was afraid. I was afraid, you know. yeah, that time we were on campus and my wife was also part of it. She nearly died. I mean, she... I was afraid, but I didn't show it, you know. I didn't show it. But after the excursion, when we came back, I kept having those dreams, you know. And you know how it's like when you're walking a tightrope, it's very difficult, very scary. You can slip and fall. So those dreams can bring fear. But it's all because of what I had gone through. Proverbs 14, verse 10 and verse 13. Proverbs 14, 10 and 13. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Then verse 13. When even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. Even in laughter, the heart can sorrow. The heart knows its own bitterness. So you can see your fears being projected in dreams. But what did I say? I said that anywhere you see fear, do what? Confront it. Confront it. Don't let it go like that. When you have those kind of thoughts, don't keep quiet about them. Speak, rebuke them. Rebuke them. Say, I refuse it. It's not going to happen. If you have it 100 times, confront it 100 times. Don't take any one of them for granted. Because fear is one of the major weapons of the devil. You know what Jesus Christ came to do? Deliver us from, to destroy the devil, and to deliver those who, through fear of death, have all their lifetime been made subject to bondage by the devil. Hebrews 2, 14, 15. It said, for he likewise took part of the same flesh and blood that he might destroy he who had passed the power of death. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That's the devil. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death. Somebody says, small dying, we go die. I mean, so fear, everything, fear. You are too afraid to die. We should not allow fear of death. We should rebuke it. You see, we should rebuke it. Fear of death, fear of losing things, fear, whatever the fear is. If it's not a fear, the fear of God, any other fear must be rebuked, including the fear of man. If you are so afraid of somebody to the extent that you cannot think straight in the person's presence, you must rebuke that fear. It's a soul tie that has to be broken. Memories dream. Memories. That's what I call it, memories, dreams. Certain experiences and happenings that have been locked up in your memory can be coming into your dreams. See, so these memories are connected to your heart, and you can keep seeing those things in your dreams. They could be people, they could be places. See, they could be certain events, certain geographical locations. They are locked up in your memory. So seeing yourself in your school, former school, doesn't necessarily mean that you are retrogressing in life. You need to examine the context. It may just be your memories, because that's where you went to school. That's where you went to school. Maybe somebody you used to know. There are some people who just come and pass through your dreams. You wake up and say, why did I see this person? I mean, this person, why did this person come to pass through my dreams? The person's image is locked up in your memory. And your heart can be releasing those things. Without provocation, it's like your heart can be replaying those memories into your mind. You can see those people. People that you were in relationship with. Maybe it's past. The relationship is past. You can keep seeing them, you know. They may not be doing anything in particular, but you can keep seeing them. Because it's locked up in your memory. That's why I talk about traumatic experience, because they are also locked up in your memory. You see, the human being was created like a house with many doors. That's why hurts and pain, they are not supposed to be trapped inside the human being, because there are many doors. So this hurt comes through this door, is supposed to go through that door and leave you. But there are times when certain things are too heavy for the mind to contain, and so we pass them on to the heart, and they become trapped in the heart. Those are traumatic experiences, painful and bitter experiences, that we refuse to let them go. Not that they don't go, we refuse to let them go because of the pleasure we derive from dwelling on them. You know, yes, pleasure you derive from dwelling on them. Because anytime you remember them, you have a sense that you were the one who was wronged. You are innocent, or you are the one who is the better one. The other person is the bad one. And because of that, you can keep dwelling on that hate and bitterness, refusing to let it go. That one too can be part of memories dream. You can be having memories, you know. Okay, your worldview can also be playing in your dreams. Your worldview, the ecosystem of relationships you have. It is very unlikely, okay, for you to be having dreams about the president. So when you have dreams and you see the president, for instance, you cannot just say that it was your heart playing, because he's not within your ecosystem, you know, your immediate ecosystem. He's just somebody you interact with frequently. So such dreams, you may begin to look at them as significant. Okay. But let's say you work in Flagstaff House. That is where you work. Every morning you see him and all that, and you have dreams and you keep seeing him in dreams. Most of the dreams may not be significant. They may just be your worldview being played out by your heart to you. It happens. Are you getting me? Sometimes changing environment can affect your dreams. When your heart is adjusting to your new environment, you can have some dreams that sometimes you can't even understand them. Because let's say you go to a different place with a different ambience, it can affect your dreams. It may not be any dream of significance, it may just be your heart playing out your worldview to you. Your heart playing out your worldview to you. Those are memories, dream. Okay. Then the fifth one, soul tie dreams. So for the memories dreams, if you see that it's of no significance, you can discard them. Unless maybe one or two scenes project themselves, you know, as some that requires further interrogation. Otherwise, you just have to discard them. You are just seeing your environment, you know. Discard them. It's not any real thing. But sometimes if it's a dream from God, for instance, you will know that this dream is holy. You can't easily get over it. You can't easily ignore it. It grips you like that. Okay. Soul tie dreams. Now, there are many things that can create a soul tie. And, you know, we have positive soul tie and negative soul tie. For any relationship, whether it's a friendship or marriage, or whether it's a father, daughter, father, son, mother, daughter, siblings, for it to grow and to thrive, there has to be a soul tie. Because it's a soul that bonds. That bonding aspect of your being is in the soul. So that's why in the Bible, for instance, in Acts 4:32, look at an example of a good soul tie in Acts 4:32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That's a soul tie, one soul. That it means that the bonding was so strong. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. So this one is a positive soul tie. You know, in a positive soul tie, I said three things are necessary. I've already talked about that. You can look at the message I preached on. He restored my soul and resolving spiritual conflicts and all that, overcoming bitterness and offenses. I talked about the fact that for every relationship or bond to be a blessing, there must be three things involved. I said that they must not compromise the principle of purity, number one, and then also the fact that your individuality is not compromised, that you are not supposed to lose your individuality into the other person. You know, that if that happens, then it means that the relationship is healthy, and then also that you can have tolerate divergent views in that relationship. That one is a good soul tie. But a bad one is when your identity is submerged or absorbed by the other person to the extent that there's no interdependence, there's no individuality. It's like you have lost your identity, your individuality to the person. That one becomes a negative soul tie. That one becomes a bondage, not a bond. Let's say two friends, and if you are relating as friends, and each one of you cannot have his or her views, you cannot sometimes disagree, and then one party must always dominate the other party. His thinking must be your thinking. It's a bondage, not a bond. Now, so positive soul tie. Now, look at David and Jonathan. 1 Samuel 18:1. It says, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." This one was a soul tie. It was a soul tie. David said, "Jonathan, the love I have for you is more than the love of women." Yes, when he died, That was David's eulogy for Saul and Jonathan. And he was describing the love. He said that it was a love, like love of a woman. So it was a positive soul time, you know, and he really loved him. You can have dreams that are like that. But negative soul ties too can produce dreams. They can produce dreams. Even with positive soul tie, for instance, let's say that you lose a loved one. If you don't break the soul tie that exists between you and the loved one, it's going to be a bondage. You cannot heal. You are going to keep seeing the person in your dreams. It's normal. Somebody who has lost a spouse, lost a child, lost someone who is very close, unless there's a breaking of the soul tie through the process of healing over time, is going to create, you can have such dreams where you are always seeing the person. And familiar spirits can easily take advantage. I remember I was reading a book by Ernest Angley. The title of the book was The Deceit of Lucifer. Very long time ago, like the year 2000, thereabout. And in the book, he was saying that he had lost his wife. His wife's name was Angel. And he had lost his wife. And he never got married again. And the kind of bond that existed between the two was that said that he could not remove his wife from his life, even though he had lost her. Then it got to a point. He was actually seeing the wife in dreams and visions, sometimes open visions. Sometimes she will see her like she's standing here talking to him. It will be a vision or a spiritual experience. Sometimes, then he realized that familiar spirits were taking advantage. Sometimes he will feel her and then she will begin to move things in the kitchen. Yes, real story. Things will just move like plates, a glass, to let him know that she's there. Then later she realized that, no, it was not her wife, his wife. It was a familiar spirit that was taking advantage of the soul tie that had not been broken, projecting pictures onto his mind for him to think that it was his wife. And it can happen. It can happen. Let's say you have a friend. This friend, you were really into each other as friends, and suddenly the friend is gone. It's going to take some time to heal, but if it travels beyond a certain time and you are still not healed, you can literally see that friend. Have you heard of this scenario where somebody died? Then they say he came to take somebody along. Have you heard that before? Somebody dies, then somebody who is very close will follow. Usually, if it happens like that, usually it means that the person who was alive could not separate the dead person from his life. It's a soul tie. You love the person so much so that you don't want to let the person go, even though the person is dead. Meanwhile, the person's body, you didn't keep it with you. But you kept the person's memories. But beyond a certain point, it can actually become a bondage. So the devil can manipulate these soul ties, you know, to afflict you in dreams. Now, negative soul tie is a soul tie that keeps you in bondage. Like sexual sin can create a negative soul tie. That one is a negative one, and that one can keep you in bondage. Some sex in dreams, they are from soul ties. Not all are from demons. Some are from soul ties, and some are also from the body. I'll talk about that later. But negative soul tie can be like that, you know. If it's not broken, there can be a negative soul tie between you and an authority figure in your life, to the extent that you have crippling fear. Crippling fear. Fear that immobilizes you. The person is your senior or your leader or, an authority figure, but you can be so much afraid of the person that it creates a negative soul tie. So it's like you can't stand the person's presence because his mere presence cripples you. Sometimes you can have dreams where you have been caged, you have been chained, you have been bound. Now, those dreams may be indicating soul ties like that have not been broken. Because the fear of man is a snare. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. If there's somebody like that, you need to pray and rebuke that fear and break it. Tell yourself that this person is a man, a human being just like you. And the Bible says, don't be afraid of one who can only destroy the body, but cannot destroy the soul. But be afraid of the one who can destroy both. So once he's a human being, the fear of man is a snare. Somebody can have a fear for a certain person to the extent that the person can lead the person to do what is not right. It should not be like that. No amount of respect or fear should be able to make you compromise or let the person push you to do what is against God. Otherwise, that fear is misplaced. It's not proper fear. It's a snare. And it must be dealt with. Fear of being, dreams of being raped, sometimes they can all come from negative soul ties. Dreams of being raped, they can come from negative soul ties. It's not all the time that it's like, I know that when you have dreams and you are being raped, you have to pray against it. You have to pray against it. You have to be careful, and all that. But some of them may actually be coming from soul ties you have not broken. Soul ties. I'll talk about sexual dreams when I'm talking about dreams from the devil. There are some sexual dreams that are from the devil. I'm going to take time to explain that one. But this one I'm talking about is from soul ties that have not been dealt with. Then number six, conflicting dreams. Conflicting dreams. When you have conflicting dreams, you must know that there's confusion or darkness in your heart. Conflicting dreams are not from God. They are not from God. God is not the author of confusion to be telling you yes and telling you no. God will not say yes, and then he'll come and say no. God is consistent. If God says yes, it will be yes, 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 yes. Because he knows the future. So when you have conflicting dreams, you must know that it's not from God. It's from your heart. And in those instances, you must disregard those dreams and pray rather for God's light to enter your heart, so that confusion is cleared. Because if you follow either of them or any of them, maybe there are many conflicting dreams, you are going to be led astray because they are not from God. And your mirror, it means that your mirror is giving you wrong feedback. Your heart is giving you wrong feedback. So you need to examine yourself. Pray that God should throw light, more light into your heart. And the light of God will dispel darkness in your heart. Then number seven. Is it seven? Okay. See that we are there. Number seven, flashing dreams. Or it can also say infirmities, dreams, infirmities. And the reason why I call them infirmity is that, see, these dreams, they come when you engage in intensive prayers, especially praying in tongues, when there are certain things in your life that will not give way, or that will not allow the seed of destiny, I mean the word of God, to penetrate and to bear fruit, that will not allow the will of God to be done in your life, when you engage in intensive prayers, you can, those things can be coming to the fore. They can be coming onto the scene. Coming onto the scene. You know, sometimes when you are fasting and praying, you will see those things coming onto the scene. It is an indication of things that are being dealt with. This is if you are embarking on prayers. You are embarking on some prayers. Let's say you are embarking on some extensive prayer and fasting. You see those things popping up in your dreams, and they are indications of things that are being dealt with in your life. Sometimes it can be worldliness, which is still in your life, which you don't know. You can embark on extensive fasting and then have dreams where you are interacting with secular artists and secular actors and actresses and all that. And maybe dreams where you are smoking and drinking. You are not that type. Okay? You are not, you don't have any desire for that. You have not also been involved in that. But why are you having such dreams? When you started praying, and fasting. Sometimes you can be disappointed that why am I having, I'm expected to be having dreams where I will see oil being poured on me, you know, because I'm praying and fasting. So why am I seeing all these things? God is telling, because when you pray in tongues, what the Holy Spirit deals with is your infirmities. Your infirmities. We do not know how to, Romans 8:26. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. See, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession with us for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, the Spirit Himself makes intercession. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. The King James says, our infirmities. So as you keep praying, you will see the story changing. So I tell people that sometimes when I give people tasks to carry out, like go through resolving spiritual conflicts, sometimes they will tell me that when I started praying, they will tell me their dreams, and they are negative dreams. And some of them are discouraged. And I'll tell them, no, don't be discouraged. Keep praying those prayers. Ignore those dreams. Keep praying those prayers. They are indications of things that are being dealt with. As you started praying, resolving spiritual conflict, that is when you are having dreams, when you are engaged in things that you are not even aware of. It means that those prayers are hitting those things in your destiny, in your life. And you must not stop praying. Keep praying those prayers to the dreams, the messages that is coming, they change. A time will come where they will change. And then you will see that it has been dealt with. Amen. Okay, so now I can move on to dreams from the body, so that we can finish with that one. So that we can, it will be left with dreams from Satan. That will spend time on that one. After that, we will move on to interpretation. That will leave the matter of dreams. So after that, I'm not going to interpret dreams for anybody again. That's why I'm taking time to explain all these things, so that you have the tools to interpret your own dreams. Now, dreams can also come from your body. Your body can actually produce dreams. That is the only type of dreams most people who are scientists know. So scientists will tell you that, oh, dreams are nothing. They are just, you know, some reactions in your body. They don't know that there's a even a spiritual side to it, and a soulish side as well. Some people only believe in the physical side. Now, the state of your physical body can affect your dreams, the state, even your health. I mean, the state, what is going on in your body can give you dreams. Then also, the dominant desires of the body can affect your dreams. And under this kind of dreams from your body, we can, I have 1, 2, 3. Yes, I have 3 types. Okay, 4 types. 4. Yeah, we have 30 minutes to go. So, okay, so the first type is chemical dreams. By chemical dreams, I mean dreams that are induced by drugs or substances you take. They are real dreams. Some medicines can produce dreams. They can alter your dreams. They can affect your dream world. Yes. If you take medicines that are sedative, it can affect your dreams. Yes, you can see that your dream world is affected. You can literally see. It's like when you are sick of malaria, or when you are sick in the body, you can have dreams that are not meaningful. They are just winding dreams. Some that you even wake up even more tired. You know, those dreams are chemical dreams. Chemical dreams. There are some medicines that are suppressants or depressants and all that, they can actually affect your dreams because they can affect the mood, your mood. Can they? They can. They can affect your mood. Hallucinations are real. People can hallucinate. See, people who smoke, who take cocaine or smoke, who use substances, they can actually be seeing things. In fact, I have a friend who is now a man of God who used to be a cocaine user. And he said that he was explaining to me how it works. He said sometimes he can take the cocaine and he will actually see and feel that he's in a mansion and he's taking a drink by the poolside. Yes. So he will feel so happy and on top of the world. When he sees you, he's like, what? I mean, you are not there yet. You are not there. See, that's why they call it high. And you know, the reason why they keep going for it is that they love that experience they get when they use it, because they enter another world and they begin to see stuff, and so they yearn for that kind of experience. They always want to stay high. See, that is what the Bible was saying, that do not be drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Spirit. Anytime you have that experience with God, it's addictive. God is addictive. A spiritual experience that is addictive. That's why when you have genuine encounters, you will always love to go back for those encounters. Yes, it's the same thing. So those drugs, they can affect. That is why I keep saying that people can get songs when they are high. They can get songs from demons because your state is altered. See, you leave the physical into the soulish. And in that state, you can easily get songs and other things from the devil. And so, if somebody gets his inspiration from smoking weed and he brings out a song, that song is from the devil. In fact, the works of the flesh, one of them, the Greek word is the same word for drugs, medicine. One of them is sorcery. And the Greek word is the same word for drug. See, so Sickness can affect your dreams also. Long, winding dreams with several unrelated scenes. You wake up tired and drained. Then, the second type under this one is Banku, Fufu, and Pizza dreams. Banku, Fufu, and Pizza dreams. Overeating and overstuffing your stomach can cause dreams. You see, if you were a dreamer, for instance, be careful the last thing you eat before you sleep. Yes, if you want to protect your dreams, you know, let's say you were a dreamer, want to protect your dreams. If you overeat before you sleep, you can be having dreams that are very, very, very wild, wild imagination. Sometimes you dream and you are in World War II. Or you dream and you are in a dungeon somewhere. You dream, somebody said he had a dream and then he was Aladdin. And he was supposed to go and save a queen somewhere, you know. And then all these dreams, and sometimes these kind of dreams, people want you to interpret for them. And you know that this one is a pizza dream. It's a dream that gave you too much pizza, too much Banku and Fufu and all that. Yes. That is the dream from your body. You know. Then you can have passing dreams. Now, passing dreams are desires of the body producing dreams. Some of them are defiling dreams. If you watch nudity, sex scenes, you watch pornography and all that, It will not be surprising to see nudity, to see sex scenes in your dreams. Yes, it will not be surprising. It is your body that is replaying what you have watched, the desires of the body. You know, for instance, not all dreams of sex are spiritual marriage. Some of them are defiling dreams. Some of them, they are not. It's not spiritual marriage, but it's just like the things you have watched, the bad things you have watched coming back to project on your screen, your body projecting them. Sometimes and you need to know your makeup and know yourself. We are all different. For instance, the effect, let's say, music can have on somebody, I'm using music as an example, just an example, will be different from the effect to have on another person. So, if you know yourself, you know how music affects you, then you must know that the wrong kind of music will affect you. And so you must cut out all kinds of wrong music. There are some people, you know that movies can affect you, can affect your dreams. You must cut out movies. Watching movies is not a sin, it's not bad. But I mean, watching the right movies, good movies, is not bad. Watching the wrong movies is bad. It can come into your dreams. Yes, dirty dreams. The solution really is remove the garbage and the flies will leave. Stop what you are watching. Yeah, stop what you are watching. What you are watching will dominate your senses and you'll have them in your dreams. Desire for food or anything can produce dreams. Things that you crave for, they can come in your dreams. Isaiah 29, verse 7 to 8. We read that scripture last 2 weeks. I said that the scripture that says somebody is hungry, he dreams that he's eating. He wakes up and he's still hungry. That is a body dream. It's a physical hunger that went into the dream. Okay. Yes. Then your dominant activity can also produce dreams. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. Your dominant activity can produce dreams. So the things that made up your day. All the activities, like I said at that time, if your day was full of lectures, it's not surprising to find yourself in a lecture room setting. your activity was full of, you know, you were at the market and all that. It's not surprising to have a dream. It's not like spiritual trading. It's not like you are doing spiritual, somebody's trading your blood or something. That's why you find yourself in the market. It depends on many things. Are you getting me? When I get interpretation, you will see how wrong sometimes we are in interpreting dreams. Okay. The position and the state of your body while you are asleep can also cause dreams. Yes. Yes. You know, for instance, like I said, when something is pricking you in the physical, you are asleep, and let's say, you know, those days where we use cassettes as alarm clocks. Cassettes. So that when you turn, it will prick you and then you wake up. So if let's say you've turned and your body is on a cassette case, you turn it inside out like that. So that as you turn by mistake, it will prick you and then you wake up. So if let's say you turn and your body fell on the tip and is hurting you, it can easily produce a dream. You'll be surprised the dream you can get. The mind is said that when it is pain that the mind is the body is sending to the mind, pain, but the mind will go into your archive and select a scene or a picture of pain and show it to you. So you can actually see somebody stabbing you with a knife, and maybe at where your leg was on the pin that was pricking you. And it's not a spiritual dream, it's just your body sending you a dream. I'm talking about what you are experiencing instantly. Do you know that sometimes when you sleep and you have crossed your legs, you can have dreams when you are running, but you are not able to run well. This one is not, it's not like, this one too is sleep paralysis. But this one is not like the devil is the devil, no. It's just like your legs are locked. Let's say you have locked your leg like this. So in a dream you are running, but then you are not able to run. So when you come to yourself, like, oh, your legs were locked. It can happen like that. Sleep paralysis in this way is physical, but what we call muntum, that one is not sleep paralysis. So that one there is the work of demons. Yes, when they want to alter, see that one is dreams from the devil. I'll talk about that one. If you are a guy and you are in the habit of sleeping naked, stop it. It can easily produce a dream. If you are a guy and you sleep naked, the position of your male organ and the movements can produce a dream. Oh yes, it's true. If you sleep naked, it can produce a dream. And you may think that it's not spiritual marriage. It's not spiritual. It's just your body producing a dream. Now, these dreams like the food one and all that, just ignore them. They are empty dreams. They are empty dreams. So you have to categorize your dreams. And we have all had dreams from God, dreams from our hearts, dreams from the body, and dreams from the devil. Everybody has had dreams like that. So when you wake up from the dream, you have to categorize the dream. That is this dream a dream from God? You note it. And if you can do it properly, then you must write it. If you write it, it is more likely you will understand and you can categorize it. Because as you write, and sometimes you will know by the context of the dream, by the feeling you had when you were in the dream and all that. So this is where we end. I believe in miracles. I'm not like Bell, who doesn't believe in miracles. Let you on our feet. Miracles will be in your life throughout this week.
Yeah.
This is the first miracle in your life this week. Hallelujah. So next week, I'm going to touch on dreams from the devil. And we'll look at a number of things. And some of the dreams from the devil have been producing sicknesses in people's lives and all that. Some sicknesses, you have to know where they come from. It's not normal. Let's begin to pray and thank God for this revelation and ask Him to grant us grace and the spirit of wisdom to be able to discern, to be able to decipher in the name of Jesus. Kabaha talaba. Leiba halo shintalabaha. Kobra talamaku zitalama halos. Mande de brodo zitarabahadas. Libra tata konde brabo shatalaha. Mande remoko zitatalamalu shitalaha. Ibalamasikos. Mande brabo shitamahana yandos. Granted the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom in the name of Jesus, that we'll be able to discern and to decipher dreams from God and dreams that are not from God. Granted the spirit of wisdom in the name of Jesus. Librado Shatala Maha, Mandede Ibrodo Shitala Baha. Mantala maka le toto brahada le baraka la masita la baha e matali makozi andala mahasete. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are praying this prayer. We are praying that we are praying that God will help us. You see, our dream world, I said it was a seedbed of destiny that will we can prevent the devil from sowing his seeds. I mean, we can literally block him from having access to us if we pray. And so we are praying that God to build a hedge around us. And actually, it is what we expose ourselves to. As we delve deep in the word, we delve deep in the word and in prayer, we keep him at bay. And let's pray for strength to be able to continue to delve deeper in the word and prayer, to keep him out of our dreams and to keep him from preventing him from sowing. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Imala makonda balaba sitele mehese. Ikeke bolodo satala maha. Only bati katala maha. Only satala. Ikeke bride bosi katala maha. Mandala makonde bromo sitala. Iri bride bosi katala makatala. Yambi katala mikuzi katala maha. Only katala masitele. Oh batala makasitele mehese. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for some people who are sick. I just want to pray one prayer, but there are people with problems, you know, pain. As we were beginning the service, I saw somebody with a problem in the left breast. Like pain, and I want to pray, and I believe that there are people also here with similar issues and all that. I just want you to close your eyes, lift up one hand. If you are sick in any part of your body, just lift up one hand and I will pray for you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every spirit of infirmity. I command your bone to be broken in the name of Jesus. I command you to lose your hope over God's people. Let them go free in the name of Jesus. I release healing virtue. Healing virtue by the power of the Holy Ghost. Be made whole. In Jesus' name, receive healing in the name of Jesus. We are praying this last prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are praying that Father grant our leaders, grant the president and his people, grant them wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. Grant them the spirit of counsel to be able to carry out the good plans they have. And any selfish, evil plans, we command those plans to wilt and wither and die. Let those plans not see the light of day. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, grant them wisdom in the name of Jesus. Let them be open to good counsel in the name of Jesus. Any good plans they have for this nation, Father, grant them strength, grant them resources, grant them wisdom, grant them the faith to accomplish it. Any selfish, evil plans that will come into their hearts, we cast those plans. We command those plans to wilt, wither, and die. In the name of Jesus, let those plans not see light of day, but let the good plans flourish and see the light of day. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you this morning, this afternoon. We give you praise. Help us, Lord. Grant us grace. Have mercy. Help us in our growth. Help us in our spiritual experiences. Help us in our dreams. I pray for all those who are dreamers and even those who are yearning to go further in the area of dreams and visions. Father, I pray that that desire will be granted. I pray that your mighty hand will come upon this ministry for good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more of these, kindly visit our website, touchwordministries.com, or download the Apostle Joseph Minta app on Google Play Store. You can also follow Touchwood Ministries on Facebook and also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Touchwood Ministries. Thank you. Touchwood Ministries International. We reach, disciple, equip, and release. Be blessed.